Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Anawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Osio Ginalii Tahiju Toigu, which means, hello cousins, I'm fine, how are you? This is your old buddy Bluewater coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau in east central Tennessee, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the old Cherokee Nation.
Well, hello everybody. This is your old buddy Bluewater coming to you from Booger County in the mysterious Ozarks of Mid-America. And our guest is Adam Rubel of Sauk Bay. Well, go ahead and introduce yourself and tell the folks about your internet website, Earl, and tell them folks a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Well, first I'd like to start off by thanking you for having me on your show and giving this opportunity to represent my organization and the people that we work with and support. I help run a nonprofit organization entitled Sauk Bay, Organization for Mayan and Indigenous Spiritual Studies. Our focus is working on the rescue, preservation, and appropriate sharing of the ancient traditions of Native peoples, primarily within the Americas, but we do what we can where we're called. And our main focus has been with the various Mayan peoples in Guatemala. We do have a website, which is www.sacredroad.org, which is one of the key things that we do is help to disseminate information, teachings, prophecies, and warnings directly from the people for the public. Our organization has been around for about 5 years, and we just try and do what we can where we can. So,
how does Sauk Bay get started?
Well, it was actually traveling down in Guatemala with my wife after having had some previous connection with some of the Mayan elders, the Mayan priests, including Carlos Barrios, who many people may be familiar with through his writings and teachings. And so we were down there actually for a gathering of indigenous elders from across the Americas, from Colombia, Peru, the United States, Mexico, Canada. And it was during this time that we were approached and asked to help, particularly with the Mayan people, to help them with the rescue preservation, and also to help them to reach out to get their messages across, and particularly to young people. Back then I was a little bit younger than I am now. So they, you know, they felt that we might be able to find that vehicle. My wife and I came back to this country and said, you know, okay, we'll do that. We have no idea how, but we wound up settling in New Mexico and figured that a nonprofit organization was the appropriate vehicle to accomplish what we had been asked to do. So that's how we went about and formed Sac Bay.
Done a great job. It's a wonderful website.
Thank you.
And was it really exciting when we saw it rolled out? And now, were you raised here from your accent? Were you raised here in the States?
Yes. Yep. I was actually born and raised in New Jersey.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Oh yeah.
And you have a neutral accent. You could be from Utah. You know?
Yeah.
And what was it? North Jersey. South Jersey or East Jersey?
Yeah,
Jersey?
Yeah, North Jersey, about 20 minutes outside New York. You know, so I guess part of it is probably that cultural diversity. Part of it is probably traveling around so many different places that kind of blended and lost accents all at the same time.
I heard him joking yesterday on National Public Radio that that North Jersey and South Jersey are the same as East and West Jersey, because they were two separate colonies at one time. And you'd think, you know, there was a clear delineation between north and south, east and west, but it was actually split diagonally. So you had a north that also could have been west, and a south that also
right.
East, you know. So. But, yeah, it's kind of a joke in Jersey. There's a guy's just written a book called The New Jersey Encyclopedia, and it was kidding around about it, but that's a beautiful place. Did you ever run into the guy that wrote all those books about the wilderness, Tom Brown Jr.?
Tom Brown. No, I never did have an opportunity to meet him.
A Stalking Wolf was his.
He was from the southwest part, I think.
Pine Barrens.
I was in the northeast, so we're different.
And. Yeah, that's a fascinating story. So I know in this last, what has it been, about 6 or 7 months now that Grandfather Carlos has been really active in working with Earth Changes TV.
Mm-hmm.
Really excellent vehicle to get the word out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm more than a little jealous, but I told you. No, just kidding. But more power to him. More power to him. This is fantastic because, geez, I can't imagine that Earth Changes TV doesn't have anything less than 100,000 people on their mailing list. In effect,
yeah, it's amazing. And I'm not saying just about Earth Changes TV, but with the internet in general and the way that communications are set up now, the way that so many people can be reached, so quickly and seemingly effortlessly. I know it takes a lot of effort to put a show together and to get it out there. But, it's amazing, you know, when you're thinking that we're able, in part, to help share what's coming from, you know, maybe a village that doesn't have electricity, where the people don't know how to read or write.
Absolutely.
And they're able to share what they have with, you know, people from all over the world. I know even through our website, we start to get messages from countries that I really haven't even heard of.
Yeah,
It's amazing.
Well, you know, you can go on. I tell people every month, you know, we send out a little report on what's going on, and I send out the link for the statistics.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had 100. We've had. I think there's only 140 countries in the world, and we've had visitors from 120 some odd. 126. Wow. It's just unbelievable. You know, sometimes it's like one from Mongolia, but they came. Mm-hmm. You know, and you think about, wow, man, we're really getting out there, and this is what I envisioned originally, and we wanted to keep the cost to zero. Mm-hmm. We wanted people there in the outback of Australia with their on modem and. You know, they're on at like 28,000 baud. We want them to hear the show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, so we keep it free, and we keep it listener-supported, and we just don't needle people quite as much as NPR does for donations. As long as we keep it alive, that keeps me happy. But now what's this I hear about some of the elders, or was it Grandfather Carlos that was in international news because of the mudslides down there?
Yeah, you know, I just got off the phone with him a short while ago. The situation down there is actually seems to be quite a bit worse than anything that's been reported in the news.
Yeah.
In fact, I mean, I was just talking with him and finding out, and was, you know, it's shocking.
Yeah.
They still don't even know the extent of the damage because just about a day ago, the rain finally let up after like a week and a half.
Well, you know, a lot of those towns are just abandoned and they're turning them officially into graveyards.
Right.
Now, about a week before the mudslides happened, I was watching a show on some cable channel about how every year... the traditional people make a pilgrimage up to the mountain glaciers, and they do this at great effort and sometimes great expense, and it doesn't matter whether they're traditionals or they might be Catholic, still go and do it, just for the reason to head off exactly what did happen this year, and it was. It was a fascinating show. I should have gotten the name of the program, and but you know, a lot of times these shows are only on one time, and
right.
Can't warn anybody when they're coming on. But then I was just absolutely shocked, you know, when the mudslides happened. It was just after I saw this, and I went, "Oh my gosh," is this because not enough people went to ceremony? And I know this is what. The elders are concerned about is, and me, being born and raised, I was born white, raised in Christian society, raised to believe that all this is BS.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like I was telling you before the show, I asked you how old you were, and then I told you that I was more or less activated when I was 30. I was told when I was 26 that when I turned 30 and had been in a certain place for 7 years, something very important would happen, and it did. And that was the year I started walking the Red Road in 85, the spring of 85, and that's the age that you're at right now. But you got started even earlier than that. That's a real honor. That's a real tremendous responsibility. And you know, young folks like you are rare, very rare. And but you know, I think you. Guys like you are becoming more ubiquitous, and thankfully, we need to have lots more like you. We really do. So I understand they're having a gathering on Wednesday, and we Prophecy Keepers Radio might get a chance if we can work out the technical details. Marshall Masters, who's been a wonderful supporter of Prophecy Keepers. He runs the internet radio show over at YOWUSA.com, Your Own World USA, commonly referred to as Yowza. And Marshall uses Skype.com, S-K-Y-P-E, which is a voice-over internet protocol. And he calls all over the world with it. And I haven't been able to work out the technical things. The sound is still kind of spiky. But I'm going to get on the stick, and I've got broadband. So I should be able to tweak the sound to make it better than it was. I haven't used it yet, but I hope to be able to get that done so we can record, you know, what's going on down in Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, that would be terrific, because this is really, I mean, it's the heart of it. It's the source. You know, there's several different councils in the different regions of Guatemala, and they are gathering this week. And, you know, so it would be an opportunity to speak directly with the people through their translators as they speak in their various native tongues.
I got a call out of the blue from a gentleman from Argentina,
uh-huh,
that said that I want to know how to get a hold of Red Elk, because, you know, some people say he's the most famous medicine man in the world because of the media attention he's got. I mean, when you got 10 million people listening to you, things happen. Well, he was telling me, and I can't remember the name, there's several, of course, several different traditions in Argentina, but they said they had a grand council of five different traditions, and that everybody down there just loved him. You know, want to know how to get a hold of him. So anyway, as it turned out, the guy was in Oregon at the time visiting his daughter, and he went up and saw Red Elk and had a message to take to him, and I'm hoping to get a hold of Red Elk here in the next few days and find out what that was, because it's really interesting. This is what it's all about, folks. This is the condor of the south flying with the eagle of the north, and it's not that we're giving them much as they're giving it to us, because we've really forgotten and lost our way up here, mostly in greed and politics, and civilization, so-called, is really making inroads into traditional areas, particularly in Mexico. Grandfather Jaime Perez was on the show a few months ago, and he said they've got a 4-lane freeway now going through some of the most rural parts of Mexico, and he says the traditional people there are being... Well, he says, you know, you'd think that if people came and you know, gave you a Coke or gave you a coat or mm-hmm. gave you some food or whatever, that would be helping, he says, but... He says it's negatively impacting their traditional way of life down there, and that he says the trash is just unbelievable that's being thrown out. So there's a lot of things to deal with, and not apparently not a lot of time. Time is I don't know. It's kind of our friend and kind of our enemy in this effort. And, well, anyway, I've talked enough. Go ahead and tell me some more. I get the feeling strongly about things. I rattle.
Sure.
So tell us some more, Adam.
No, I think that's accurate. What you described in Mexico is really happening to indigenous peoples everywhere at an accelerated pace. I mean, it's been happening, you know, for thousands and thousands of years. You know, I would say from when the concept of colonization first took hold. Way back when, you know, up until the present day. The problem is right now is the scale on which it's happening, and you know, the dwindling diversity of culture and perspective and spirituality. You know, as a people, we're not much different than a forest, and when a forest becomes homogenous, it becomes susceptible to a single disease that can wipe it out. As a people, if we have this homogenous culture, we become susceptible in the same way. And this is what's happening. And not enough of us are realizing how important that is and why we need to stand up and help these traditional people to not only survive, but to survive in a fruitful way that respects their culture, that honors the ways that they have, the relationships with the earth, with each other, and the things they have to teach the rest of humanity that we've forgotten, as our monolithic society has kind of moved forward for such a long time.
Yeah, that's certainly true. I know Maria Gurley just got back. She had a shamanism conference in Peru, and I know Benny Lebeau was invited to go down. I don't know whether he was able to raise funds to do so, but we'll be interviewing him. That man has been all over. I've talked to him in the last couple of weeks, but trying to interview him, he's just been gone from elation to exhaustion. I think we're finally going to be able to get a chance to talk to him tomorrow.
Great.
But these elders really, it's their life. It's what they do, and you really got to respect them for it.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Friends, this is Will Bluewater. Would you think twice about defending yourself or a loved one from an intruder? In this day and age, would you dream of leaving your doors unlocked at night for fear of being burglarized or even attacked or worse? Would you? But when it comes to our own bodies, the doors to our houses are wide open all the time. The very air we breathe and the food we eat, especially here in the United States, creates free radicals that cause us to age and in some cases cause illness, some of which are deadly. Now, for the first time in history, there's a supplement called Protandim that is listed on the U.S. government's PubMed.gov website, with many peer-reviewed studies all showing that Protandim is a proven killer of the free radicals that are aging and in some cases even killing us. Now, I'm not talking about killing one molecule of free radical per one molecule of antioxidants like the stuff we've been taking. I'm talking about killing 1 million free radicals per second per molecule, and this is the very same antioxidant your own body produces. Protandim supercharges your body to create much more than it does without Protandim. There's an old saying that we are warned about in the scriptures. That's the attitude, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. So let me ask you, how much money do you spend on food a day? If you're out shopping or at the beach, would you think anything of spending a buck or even more on a can of soda? If there was a vending machine that sold something that killed what was aging you or even killing you, would you even hesitate to spend a buck and a half a day? Well, now there is such a vending machine, and it's sitting right in front of you. It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
Hi, friends. This is Will Bluewater. I have a message here from 1975 from John Wayne. It comes right out of today's headlines. So you Indian folks who are following the progressive trend in politics, you're following the people that supported slavery. You're following the people that have enslaved you ever since the Civil War. Listen to John Wayne.
You know, it's a funny thing, the Indians now, this AIM group have started something that now they're against me for some reason, but I am the only man in pictures that always gave them their human dignity. I never was in a picture. I never allowed myself at any time to do anything that would take their human dignity away from them, and that to me is the most important thing in a man. I have found that a certain type that calls himself a liberal, and I always thought I was a liberal. I came up terribly surprised one time when I found that I was a right-wing conservative extremist. When I have listened to everybody's point of view that I ever met, and then decide how I should feel. I mean, but this so-called new liberal group, they never listen to your point of view, and they make a decision as to what you think, and they're articulate enough and in control of enough of the press to force that image out for the average person. For some reason, maybe it's these pictures, they have not been able to do that with me. In spite of what they say, people have not taken sides that I'm it hasn't affected my career in popularity, let's say. In spite of the fact that they've tried to make it do it. There isn't a hell of a lot to that we can do to change human behavior. We keep making laws to try and change human behavior. You can't do it. I think you can accept it and feel how you would feel in that position. You're being conned into Keynesianism and socialism now. But it isn't going to stop the selfishness of human behavior. It isn't going to stop the greed. If you take $20 and give a dollar to every son of a bitch in a room, and come back a year later, one of the bastards will have most of the money. I mean, it's just human nature, and you're not gonna whip it with a lot of laws. I think when you make people conscious, as communication gets better, and you make people conscious of somebody in trouble, starving or something like that, the average person will help. But of course now they've got so damn many charities and there's so much professionalism, you know, there's if you have a charity, you hire some professionals to work up the charity, and by the time you get the money, you get $4 for the recipient and $400 for the administrators. So, I mean, Christ, I think there are people who try to affect a thinking where they know more than some other son of a bitch and try to put a false impression on what human nature is. Christ's sakes, we have proven that we go back to hope at the first opportunity. Just throw out a little fish and bam, they're out there ready to grab it. So we are optimistic. We have to be optimistic. Christ, what else would there be in life if you lose optimism?
You know, it's like Red Elk's in his 60s, and, you know, he was asked to go spend a couple, 3 months in Canada. I mean, here's a man who's in his 60s, mm-hmm. who's also disabled and diabetic, and, you know, he's sleeping in bathtubs and hampers and, you know, that's rough time.
When they're
having to go back into helicopter, back into areas to go to certain sacred areas and, you really have to respect these people.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's also a circumstance of the time that we're in, where traditionally, when I also speak of traditional cultures, I'm not just speaking of a single race, of a red race, or a black race, but I feel like we've all come from traditional cultures. We all have that heritage.
Yeah.
Whatever our ancestry is, but at some point things have deviated. But within that traditional culture, it was always the community that would support the elders, that the elders wouldn't be left to sort of fend for themselves and figure out a way. And it's been taxing. I mean, I know of people that have been 80-something years old and have to work the fields every day and have this incredible knowledge, but really aren't able to have as much of an impact because they still need to go out and support their families and rather than having their community support them.
True. That's certainly true, and a lot of them that are in their 80s are just unbelievably spry. I know I'm reading Lucille Taylor Hansen's book, The Ancient Atlantic, and back in the 40s, she met one elder that was in his 80s, and I mean, the man was jumping around like a rabbit, just like he was a man in his 30s. But we've gotten away from in the last 50 years, especially from the traditional diet. And this one elder I knew who passed away, I guess about 12 years ago. He was Bear Clan Dene, and he lived in Cortez, Colorado, and he was diabetic, and I think they were on, he was on dialysis, and I think he'd had a couple of amputations, and you know, his father and grandfather had lived until past 100, and he was only 61, and he was dead before he was 62. So his, you know, the way he viewed it was that he came to be an example, and he gave up that 40 years that he could have taught to make an impact, to show people, you know, what happens when the traditional people get away from a traditional way of life and their indigenous foods. Mm-hmm. And not that white is bad. He just says, you know, white flour, white sugar, right, and all that commodity foods is just killing us.
Right.
I think he said 40% of the people on the res down there were diabetic, and about 15% of those were on dialysis. That's just dire.
Yeah. In this country, especially on all the different reservations. I think even up in South Dakota, it's probably even higher.
Yeah.
And you know, that's a shame. It shouldn't be that way. But
well, and it's the, and I know here in the States, and Benny LeBeau is going to be talking about that when we get him on. He went up to northern Minnesota where they had the school shooting, and it's just the absolute hopelessness that Native kids are having to deal with nowadays. You know, and I can't help but think that, hey, you know, if they've been taught, you know, about the hope of the prophecies, mm-hmm. maybe it would have made some difference. But so many Native people in the Americas have just walked away from the old ways.
Mm-hmm.
They don't, you know, at least down south of the border, you know, they might be Catholic, but they'll amalgamate the two religions.
Well, you know, that has actually been running into problems as well.
Yeah, it does. Chiapas. Yeah.
Yeah. And in Guatemala particularly, with the evangelical churches moving in.
Until they came in and started, you know, missionizing, that caused problems.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Shootings in Chiapas.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, I guess Chiapas, I guess it's been, at least 20 years, they kicked the Roman Catholic priests out. They've just taken over the church. And,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, anybody that comes in there tries to be a missionary, they've been shooting, you know, they're up to here with it, you know, and they're not putting up with it anymore. Maybe you can give us a little bit of what's transpired since our last interview with Grandfather Carlos of what he's been doing, what you've been doing.
Sure. The main thing I would like to get out is what we've been asked to get out, and you know, this is from what the elders there have to say, and the main thing is that they say they've given their real messages. There's nothing new that's coming. There's nothing new that's going to be coming. They've kind of given their guidance to humanity. And that message is that we need to move towards finding balance. We need to move towards finding a harmony and creating that on all levels. We need to do that very quickly. On a global scale, there's the ones that have power, and they would rather see that this Earth be destroyed than have to give up that power and stand on this planet as an equal with everybody else. They say that we have to move towards that balance, and you know, it's our job, those of us that are aware and that become aware, to do what we can to create that and to create a balance with our families, our communities, and our Mother Earth. So the main thing is that they've given this. You know, there isn't any new teaching that's going to come about it. There's nothing, real shocking revelation that's going to come. Now, having said that, there is also the prophecies which talk about us being in this time of transition, of change, of the potential for cataclysm. As you know and your listeners know, prophecies are given not to scare people, but to give them an option, to give them a warning, because they're never set in stone. There's always the ability to change the outcome on anything. And so, you know, the path that they've outlined is the way that they see that harmony happening. What has happened recently is that there's been more disturbances on the Earth. You know, and this is what they say, you know, this is now entering a time of intensification, and particularly the next 18 months are going to be even more dangerous, particularly with respect to the possibility of, you know, wars breaking out. Not meaning that it's going to happen, that it has to happen, but meaning that we really must become vigilant to ensure that it doesn't. You know, they see things moving on the earth as well. You know, they said first there's going to be the water, then the earth is going to shake. You know, talking about earthquakes that'll happen, and they say it's going to happen on you know, the five different continents. They say the next thing that we're going to see soon is the fire, or they say the fire, which refers to volcanoes erupting. And you know, they say watch Yellowstone and watch other places because it's just going to become more active. The whole of the earth is shaking and moving. You know, so these things are here. They're happening. They're happening to people. You know, we're seeing also diseases, you know, breaking out. You know, I don't want to be gloomy and pointing out all the things that are going on, that continue to go on, that will go on. But you know, it's something that all of us, all the listeners, should realize is very real. It's very much here. That we have a responsibility and a choice as to what actions we take, how we live our lives, and what role we play in how these things do or do not manifest. So, you know, this is the main thing they want, is to do what they can, because this is their responsibility, is to make that call to humanity, that we will listen, that we will take actions, that we will hold our leaders accountable to making decisions that take this into consideration, rather than, you know, saying, well, if we look back and say, well, you know, I should have done this, I could have done that, you know, we have to realize we're given an opportunity now, and how we work with that, how we seize that, is up to us.
Yeah, from what I've heard and read, the elders are really kind of disappointed that, you know, well, you know, we've given these messages out, now time for you to do something, because mm-hmm. the shift, if it's going to happen, away from the worst case scenario is going to happen, because people are going to hear about this and they're going to change their attitudes. And has there been any effort to get any of the elders or get particularly Grandfather Carlos Day on Coast to Coast AM?
No, we haven't had an invitation for that. You know, we haven't had a connection for that, you know, but I think what you point out is correct, is that they say, you know, this is just a time for action. You know, you can talk about it, you can theorize about it, you can dream about it all you want, but the reality is the only thing that's going to make a difference now is taking that action. You know, I think a number of years ago there was this New Age fantasy going around that, you know, these changes are going to happen and it's going to be really dramatic and instantaneous, and only the people that were, you know, New Age people would be fine and enlightened beings, and everybody else would just be washed away. You know, the Earth is calling to us and just telling us that we have to deal with reality here.
Yeah, and it's like the Bible says, the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike.
Right.
So, you know, it's things, bad things happen to good and bad people. And
right.
Well, I'll tell you what am I going to do. When Red Elk was ill a few months ago, I came into possession of the phone number for George Nuri's producer. Now, I haven't spoken with her in probably about a year. I'm going to call her.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell her what's going on and recommend that they give you guys a call. And I've also emailed back and forth a couple times with Ian Punnett, who who just recently interviewed Red Elk. And he loves Red Elk, and it was going to go out and see him. So
great.
Let's see what we can do, you know, because great. You know, 100,000 people's great, but 10 million's a lot better. especially if they could get them on, you know, every few months. And
sure.
The Hopi elders, they're not going to talk anymore. They're past. You know, they're at Robert Ghostwell's house right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, they just aren't interested in jaw-jacking anymore because they really don't feel that people are paying that much of attention, and they feel that what went out was really kind of twisted, you know, for people's self-interest and everything. So I don't think you can expect to, unless you change your mind, I really don't think expect that you will hear from the Hopi Sinem anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think, they're not real happy with what's happened. They said what they were going to say back in 90, you know, 4, 5, 6, and 7, and I don't know if we'll ever hear from them again in the media, which is kind of a shame. And so I'm glad the elders in Guatemala are talking, and I hope they keep talking. I know, some people, listeners out there, you know, I can't emphasize enough how plugged in these people are to what George Nuri would call like the ethereal internet. I believe it was Alberto Villaldo that took a picture of the globe, and I think he was talking with the Kogi elders. And this is going back, you know, 10-15 years ago. And the Kogi immediately said, oh, yeah, you know, we're here. And, I mean, they know what the world looks like. And they said, you're from up here. And they, you know, they put their finger right where he was from. And then they start talking about these wars. You know, they said that, oh, yeah, well, there's the people here, pointing to the United States, and their finger went over to the Middle East, you know, over to, you know, Saudi Arabia. And he says, these people over here, he says, they're coming after you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, 15 years or so ago, and it's absolutely amazing, you know, the stories you hear about people going to a sweat lodge, and all of a sudden they find themselves, you know, sitting around the fire, but they're in outer space looking down on the earth. I mean, until something like that happens to you, you know, you think, oh, that's BS, but hey, you know, if you were raised in the Christian tradition, you know, you've got to believe what it says in there, that the Creator provides prophets, always will provide prophets, and He will never do anything unless and until He tells His servants, the prophets, what He's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
The hard thing, the hard pill to swallow, is the prideful pill, is that He's not much talking to the European Caucasian prophets anymore. He's talking to the little guys. He's talking to the black people in Africa. He's talking to the humble people, and using the humble people to be the conscience of the people of the world and try to wake them up, and the meek. So we just got to keep on keeping on, and because it's who we are and it's what we do. And hey, have you got a family?
Yeah.
Wife? You got any children?
No children yet.
Nothing yet, huh? Okay.
Nope.
And I know you help administer this nonprofit. Do you have a day job or what other kind of interests do you have?
Yeah, I do have a day job. The work for Sac Bay is and has been for about 5 years voluntary. I work doing web communication stuff. I do it with both nonprofit organizations. And I'm actually doing it with a retreat center out here in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Great. What's the name of that retreat center?
Sunrise Springs.
Okay. I know there was a really nice one for sale not too far from Las Vegas, and I was just drooling.
In Okamura?
Yep.
Is it
for sale?
I think it is. I haven't seen it in about a year and a half.
Oh,
but
it's a beautiful place.
It's amazing out there.
Oh, if I had $2.5 million, that'd be the first thing I'd do. Oh, it's a beautiful place. And, you live in a beautiful place there. And I think, as far as earth changes go, that part of New Mexico is going to be pretty safe. There are a lot of areas in the, and pretty close by, particularly around Albuquerque and Sandia, I really wouldn't want to be around. Main problem is water. But they have, Okamura I love because they had some good water sources out there and lots of trees, lots of apples, and you could bring a lot of people in there and as a refuge, build it up pretty quickly.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
It is so great to have our friend Marie Osmond back here on GMA, and she has some important information about making sure your family is prepared for natural disaster. She's the new national spokesperson for Wise Company, which makes dehydrated and freeze-dried emergency foods and food storage products. She's here to tell us about that. Marie, you've been given the opportunity to endorse probably 9 billion things over the course of your career.
True.
Why the Wise Company?
The reason I wanted to do it is because it's affordable. You can eat a meal for a dollar. It's less than school lunch. It's affordable, but really, look at what's been going on with Sandy and Katrina. I mean, what was it, $78 billion of damage done just here in New York and
right.
New Jersey.
So what is this?
What it is it's emergency meals, and it's not your grandmother's kind, not the beans and rice and the gross chicken tasting garbage. This is lasagna and really good stuff, and I swear to you, why am I here talking about this? Because I know it's going to save thousands and thousands and thousands of lives. You put it under your bed, it's convenient, stick it in your closet. If something happens, I have it in my car. All you do is you open it and you add water. You don't even have to add hot water.
Right.
And it's affordable, it's convenient, it tastes really good. Taste the peaches, they're fantastic.
This is a peach?
But they're different than every other company because it's like dehydrated and freeze-dried, and they combine whatever. I swear it's fantastic. Just try it.
I'm trying it right now, Marie
Osmond. Put it
under
your bed, put it in your closet, give it for Christmas to people, and save lives.
Thank you very much. Will you tell Donnie that we said we hope his rear feels better?
Well, it's kind of a bummer, but I'll tell him.
No, Marie Osmond, great having you on.
It's
the Wise
so fun
Company.
To be here.
Great to be with you.
It's always fun to be here. This is a great place.
All right.
Friends, this is Will Bluewater. If you'd like to find out more about Wise Foods, visit wisefoods.org.
Yeah. Well, one point I always like to kind of bring up is we get a lot of people that ask us, where should I move? Where's the safe place to move to? And, I really, truly don't believe that it kind of works like that. That if we start to seek out places, particularly if it's based in fear, if we're afraid of something that's going to happen where we are, anything really can happen anywhere.
Right.
We just need to do the best we can where we can. If we listen to ourselves, we'll know where we need to go,
absolutely.
Where we're drawn to go. And if it's meant for us, if everything else crumbles and we're meant to survive, we'll survive.
That's right.
If nothing crumbles and it's not meant for us to survive, we won't.
That's what Red Elf says, and that's what I've always said. I kind of started walking the I used to call it the thinking paranoid road back in 1981, and I went through all the emotions like everybody and dragged food storage around from pillar to post, but once Creator started talking to me, and even then, Creator started talking to me in 1983, and I didn't even really know what was going on. I didn't have a clue till maybe 1992, and even and really didn't really know till 1995. And even after I knew it was Creator that was speaking to me, it really didn't dawn on me until just a couple of years ago that, hey, it doesn't matter what you do or where you go, you know, all these things that you might want to be relying on, you know, they may be there for you and they might not, because you could be in your car 50, you know, even 30 or 50 miles away from your house when it hits the fan,
mm-hmm.
and hey, they're useless to you. But if you're listening, you know, and you folks out there, you know, the majority of folks out there were raised, you know, reading the Bible, there's umpteen accounts in there that talk about the people that Creator wanted or that were listening. He would come to them in a dream the night before, and he would say, you know, hey, look, you know, this is going to happen. It's time for you to get up and get out and go somewhere else. And they did, and they were fine. And that's what I'd like to see everybody doing. It's just that they have to believe that they can get plugged in. It's your right. It's your birthright to have that direct connection with your Creator. And, I guess we'll see. Looking forward to seeing what happens Wednesday. And I'm not. I don't want to cut the interview short, but you go ahead and talk as long as you want to. But can you think of anything else? Is Creator or Spirit telling you anything to say?
There is one more thing that you know is important for me to get across, and that is you know the recent mudslides were devastating, and it wasn't just mudslides; it was flooding, bridges, the entire infrastructure of Guatemala got essentially destroyed. The Carlos told me that there's at least 100,000 people homeless, if not more. You know, the number of dead is well into the thousands. You know, in fact, there was a medicine man, Don Antonio, who lived in Santiago Atitlan, who we were close with, and about 2 years ago, or a year and a half ago, was the last time we were out there visiting with him. And, you know, he knew all the plants and the ceremonies from the Tutu Heal people. And just a kind, jolly man. Shortly after we had left him, you know, about within a month later, he was assassinated by a fundamentalist who, you know, believed that he was doing devil worship, and they shot him with, you know, 9 times with a silver bullet or something, you know, horrific.
Unbelievable.
And so he was in this area in Santiago Atitlan, you know, right by this, you know, the Great Lake, Lake Atitlan, where a lot of the mudslides were. You know, we heard that the rain there was caused floods of running water about 16 feet high coming down the mountain. And his whole surviving family was lost from that. You know, the devastation has just been terrible. We've been asked to help.
Oh, the Don Antonio's family?
Yeah.
Or the shooter's family?
No, Don Antonio's family.
Okay. Because I know he was up here. I'm aware of who you're talking about. Actually, his picture's on the Prophecy Keepers library CD.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he was... I think he was head of the Mayan Council for a while.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, he was actually, you know, a humble man. We've been to his house and, you know, just, you know, the typical kind of shed that the people live in. But, you know, he was on a council with Nelson Mandela and the Dalai Lama.
Yep.
You know, just incredible. And, you know, he did have opportunities to make his way in different circles. So you had known him?
No, I knew of him.
Okay.
There had been quite a bit of internet coverage. I can't remember his last name. I believe it started with an X.
Esquinas.
Esquinas. And yeah, there's several pictures of him. And I'll see if I could find him. By the time people hear this interview, his picture will be on the page that we're listening to this interview with, so they'll know who we're talking about. But,
great.
Yeah, he traveled extensively.
Mm-hmm.
I believe. believe, you know, he and Don Hoonbots and Willeru Huaita and these kind of people, they were all over the place for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm really sorry to hear that. That kind of reminds me of the story of another elder that we interviewed. He was Nicholas Chong, who lives in New York City now.
Mm-hmm.
His people are Salasaca Aymara people from Ecuador.
Mm-hmm.
And his birth was prophesied. And when he came, his people educated him in the traditional ways, but they sent him to, also to the Catholic schools. They wanted him to be able to walk in both societies. And when they achieved a government-to-government relationship with Ecuador, he was their first tribal chairman. I believe he was reelected also. But he says one night, he said the banditos came, well, they were actually government, elements of the government special forces, and they said that they ordered him to leave the country. They said, if you don't get out of here, we're going to come in and we're going to kill everybody in the village.
Mm.
So he just took off into the forest and walked up through Mexico, hopped the border, and ended up coming up to New York, and he runs a defense council out of a storefront in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
He was very active in the United Nations. And
mm-hmm.
So, yeah, these people are persecuted, and of course, you know, a lot of it has to do with the oil companies.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that fundamentalist guy, it may have also had to do with his job, too, you know. And, you know, being a Christian fundamentalist might have fueled the fire to it. But these
right.
indigenous people, they're fighting encroachments into their territory, which is sovereign, or at least as sovereign as nations, you know, the non-indigenous nations allow Indians to be nowadays, but they still allow encroachment, cause problems and injuries and murders and everything. And that was an atrocity. And like you said, that's like going and shooting the Dalai Lama.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well,
but what I wanted to also get across is that we've been asked to take donations for the.
Excellent.
What's called the Cofradía in Santiago, which is this community that was, you know, hard hit. The Cofradía is kind of like the, I guess like the clan of traditional keepers that maintain the ceremonies and everything. And they're asking for donations to help rebuild, provide housing, you know, help with relief, provide food for the people. Apparently, almost all the houses were destroyed, and people are in shelters, and the remaining structures that are still standing.
Oh, it's worse than Afghanistan, but Afghanistan kind of eclipsed the whole thing in Guatemala,
mm-hmm.
which is it happened, but it's unfortunate. But these kind of things happen. You know, people have forgotten. So, folks, let's and you know, that's what we'll do. That when I call Coast or producers, I'll let them know that the elders down there would like to ask for donations. Maybe they'll help get him on.
Yeah,
good.
That would be great.
Good, because you know, a dollar a person, 10 million listeners.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be nice.
Yeah,
that'd be nice.
that would go a long way to helping.
He could rebuild 100
really
communities. He could rebuild 100 communities with $10 million.
Yeah. Yep.
Very easily, so we'll do that. Well, I'll get back with you, and let's see what happens for Wednesday. I'll get on the
Great.
Stick and tweak my software and hardware to get the best sound possible. And there's from Skype, skyp.com. It's 3 cents a minute to call anywhere in the world. But I tried it once, and the sound wasn't real good. It was kind of echoey, but there is a process you can go through, troubleshoot, and I just haven't bothered to do it yet because I mean, this was easier.
Right.
And the cost was the same. But
sure.
I haven't had to call Guatemala yet, so I got to get on the
right.
Well, Adam, we appreciate
okay.
you. We appreciate you, and give our love to your lovely wife, and we want to get busy. We want to see some new little warriors coming.
All right.
And some new little mothers. Hey, thanks a lot, Adam.
Thank you so much.
All righty, we'll let you know when the interview is ready to go up.
Okay, great.
Hey, bye-bye now.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
It's the little yellow pill that scientists say could eliminate chronic diseases and help you live well into your hundreds.
You might be able to increase the lifespan of a mammal by 50%. And, of course, if that was a human being, then that might be in the order of 130 to 150 years.
That claim might be hard to swallow, but tonight on ABC's Primetime Live, co-anchor John Quinones takes the promising antioxidant therapy called Protandim.
I have become a guinea pig for ABC News and Primetime. It's not a drug. It's a supplement. It's called Protandim, and it's a combination of five exotic plants that have been around for centuries.
Have you discovered the fountain of youth?
I wouldn't put it that way, but we may have discovered something that will tell us a lot more about how we age, what happens biochemically, and maybe how we can slow it down.
Quinones has been taking Protandim for 2 weeks now and tells Extra,
I am sleeping better. I feel a lot better and also energized when I do wake up.
Primetime puts Protandim to the test tonight.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
Hello, everybody. This is Blue Otter coming to you from Booger County in the mysterious Ozarks in Mid-America. And our guest, we have Adam Rubel from Sauk Bay at sacredroad.org. And Adam is in Santa Fe, New Mexico right now, and he's going to be telling us a little bit about Don Carlos Barrios, who is a Mayan elder. So go ahead and introduce yourself, Adam, and tell us a little bit about yourself and Sacred Road and our guest.
Okay. Thank you so much, Blue Otter, for giving us this opportunity to speak and for opening this door for Carlos to share the messages that he carries from the Mayan elders in Guatemala. I'm with a nonprofit organization called Sauk Bay, and we work to open the doors for ancient traditions to share directly their teachings and wisdom and warnings with the rest of the world. We also work to support these traditions and communities around the rescue and preservation of their culture and sacred ways that, as we know, are being threatened everywhere. And to introduce Carlos Barrios, he is a Mayan Ahkir, which is the name for a Mayan priest. He originally comes from Huehuetenango in the highlands of Guatemala. He was initiated as a Mayan priest more than 20 years ago and has been since designated by his elders, by the Eagle Clan, which he is a part of, as being a messenger to travel to different parts of the world to carry the messages and prophecies from the elders and from the Mayan tradition, which is still very much alive, still very much has its roots in the ancient ways, in the ancient days, and has very, very special significance and very special messages and warnings for humanity at this time, which a number of the traditional prophecies speak of.
Well, we sure appreciate him wanting to come on and share these things. And I know he's concerned that people think that the world's going to end soon. And I guess from his writings, I guess he's going to share that there may be a shakeup and there may be some changes, but it certainly won't be the end of anything.
Right. And this is one of the good fortunes that we have, is that we have someone that's coming directly from the tradition that's been authorized by the Council of Elders Nahkir to speak for the Mayan people. So this is, you know, we're very fortunate and we're getting first-hand information and not really somebody else's loose interpretation.
Right. Well, I guess time, did you want to hand Don Carlos the telephone?
Sure, actually. One second.
Oh, sure, whatever you'd like to do.
Okay, I'll hand the phone over to Carlos now.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello, Don Carlos.
Hey, how are you?
I'm just fine. Welcome to Prophecy Keepers. Prophecy Keepers Radio was founded earlier this year to give a platform for indigenous and tribal elders to be able to explain their people, their culture, and their prophecies. And we've had some fine guests and have really been looking forward to speaking with you. We've had a couple of guests that have spoken on the subject of Mayan prophecy, Don Jaime Perez and Duncan Butzman. And we certainly welcome you. This program is being recorded and will be placed up on the internet so anyone can listen free from this point forward, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And but we welcome you to say whatever on your heart, Don Carlos. There will be hundreds of people, possibly thousands, that will be listening to this in the future. So welcome to Prophecy Keepers Radio.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about the messages of the Mayan elders. I am someone who are working in the Western world by order of my elders, so yes, I understand more the Western civilization, and they send me to talk with people to the moment of these prophecies. This is really the most important fact, because this is a real moment of decision, of power, and the Mayan prophecies, there are a lot of prophecies who have a convergence in this moment, and that's what the elders call this moment the time of the prophecies, and at the same time they call the return of the wisdom people. So there are many prophecies, but I think the most important is the prophecies of the Iku, the big cycles for 52 years each one, and the Volumpiku is 9 cycles for 52 years each one. And this is beginning when Hernando de Cortes, the conqueror of Mexico, arrived to the Mexican land. And for us, was the Dark Night, it's the culture of the materialists, it's the culture of the violence, it's the culture for the lost, the contact with the Mother Earth, the environment. And the most important, we lost our purpose of life, and we lost our soul, because we are just involved in the illusions and all this creation of the consumer system. So, of course, it was very, very sad for us, millions of our people, in essential, the elders, were killed, were destroyed, and some or a lot of them, they died, and they don't can transmit the wisdom. But the elders, they know they need to doesn't confront the conqueror, because if they confront, they are completely destroyed. So that they have a low profile, and they don't show his power, his wisdom, the science, the technology, and they let that happen at times. So this dark period finished in August to 1987, and they are a new 5 years, we call the transition period, and the new cycle, so beginning in August of 1992, is a cycle for 13 periods of 52 years each one. And this is a new cycle who is coming with a new energy for more knowledge, more wisdom, more understanding. But we are in danger to lose this opportunity. So there are another period in between to the 1992 to the 2001. This period was called for the Earth as the gestation, like when someone is conceived need nine months in our mother, we need 9 years to this period, and finish in August of 2001. The elders, they made predictions. They said after this period finish, is coming something important. If the disaster today gave to the humanity, and they send messages talking about if, in the first cycle of 20 days there is a earthquake, a big earthquake, there is a president who was killed, and there is a terrorist attack, and essentially in one of the most developed countries, we don't have a chance. For our fortune, these things happen in the cycle, in the second cycle for 20 days. And the earthquake is happening in Thailand. The president was killed, one president was killed in Africa. And of course, the 9/11 is a terrorist attack, or whatever, this planification for destroy the Twin Towers, change the energy of the humanity. So that meaning they are not completely drastic change, but we need to change. We need to change our energy. We need to put more attention in our spirituality, and really we need to move ourselves to the encounter with us, because if we don't find us, what can the environment, our brother, the animals, the plants, the trees, we can expect nothing. So we need to find our own self. We need to have the peace, the love, the understanding, because it's just our illusions who are working. We are working like a stupid all the time, running to go to any place, just buy things so looks like the happiness, but the real happiness is the three things of the life. You can buy it, or anybody can buy it, with all the money. You can buy the love, you can buy sunset, or the beauty of the Mother Earth, and the smile of that kid. And for the Mayan elders, they said, when just one kid is in the streets, walking, doesn't have nothing to eat, doesn't have a cloth, doesn't have a space to live, these people who live in the tunnels like a rat, this is too sad, and they are not really, we are not human. And the message for this is return to the Earth human. So now we are beginning if we could imagine the kids, we can call a kid to this energy. They was born in 2001. It's going to take 13 years more for to grow. In the Mayan world, a kid, when he arrived to the 13 years, is considered like an adult. And in this moment, it's beginning to change. It's beginning to have more harmony. But this period is too dangerous. And in essential, 2006 is a very, very dangerous period because coming earthquakes, inundations, hurricanes, Mother Earth is going to show us its power if we don't change our mind, if we don't work together. So the energy that we are talking about is we have the chance to change. But of course in Guatemala, all the days there are more than 2,000 fire ceremonies. The elders are working in coordination with the people from Amazonas, in the Malocas, and they are doing the Mambeo, who means working with the sacred plants. For control, for send the energy of harmony and create the balance and make the people understanding and grow. Because the problem is the darkness. They have the real power. And they are clear who is the big chief, and they are clear who is the real purpose. And in the side of the light, the people doesn't understand. Everybody go with his own ego, and all of the people of the light, they think they have the real truth, and we don't have a unity, and that's what the elders are calling for a simple history. The other prophecy is the same as date of the 2012, the 21 of December. This is a very important prophecy, and in reality it's cycles. Each of the cycles is for 5,200. And the first one beginning with the female energy, the fire element. The second cycle was a cycle for male energy and the element earth. The third cycle was the air element and female energy. And now we are living the fourth cycle, the end of the fourth cycle, and it's the water, the element, and it's male energy. So this is a very important time because we just have the 8 years, around 8 years, to arrive to the 21 of December of 2012. We call to each of these cycles the sons, the first sons, the second sons, third sons. And we have the access now to the five sons. We have the opportunity to arrive and to change. And this is another moment to the past humanities. They have, they arrive to this moment. But they lost the power. They can pass with the Mother Earth to the next level. This humanity was destroyed at the father for the Mother Earth. Takes millions of years to reconstruct it and for to have a new human race, different like our humanity. But now we hope this is a very, very amazing and important. And there are more people with conscience. There are more people with the understanding.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
It is so great to have our friend Marie Osmond back here on GMA, and she has some important information about making sure your family is prepared for natural disaster. She's the new national spokesperson for Wise Company, which makes dehydrated and freeze-dried emergency foods and food storage products. She's here to tell us about that. Marie, you've been given the opportunity to endorse probably 9 billion things over the course of your career.
True.
Why the Wise Company?
The reason I wanted to do it is because it's affordable. You can eat a meal for a dollar. It's less than school lunch. It's affordable, but really, look at what's been going on with Sandy and Katrina. I mean, what was it, $78 billion of damage done just here in New York and
right.
New Jersey.
So what is this?
What it is it's emergency meals, and you know, it's not your grandmother's kind, not the beans and rice and the gross chicken-tasting
right.
garbage. This is lasagna and really good stuff. And I swear to you, why am I here talking about this? Because I know it's going to save thousands and thousands and thousands of lives. You put it under your bed. It's convenient. Stick it in your closet. If something happens, I have it in my car. All you do is you open it and you add water. You don't even have to add hot water.
Right.
And it's affordable. It's convenient. It tastes really good. Taste the peaches. They're fantastic.
This is a peach?
But they're different than every other company because it's like dehydrated and freeze-dried, and they combine whatever. I swear it's fantastic. Just try it.
I'm dying right now. Marie
put it
Osmond.
Under your bed. Put it in your closet. Give it for Christmas to people and save lives.
Thank you very much. Will you tell Donnie that we said we hope his rear feels better?
Well, you know, it's kind of a bummer, but I'll tell him.
No, Marie Osmond, great having you on. The
it's
Wise
so fun
Company.
To be here.
Great to be with you.
It's always fun to be here. This is a great place.
All right.
Friends, this is Will Bluewater. If you'd like to find out more about Wise Foods, visit wisefoods.org.
But the call of the elders is to say to the people, don't be just weak and spiritual people. It's like in our traditions, we are, it's a kind of life. It's not we are living Sunday man ready to go to meditate or to make a fire or to go to the sacred road. No, it's a continuous life. And this is the power of the Native American nations. And when I call Native American, I'm talking about the entire continent. Because here the people think America is just the United States. And it's all the continent. We are And of course, to be more clear, this year the elders, all the beginning of the new cycle of the Choltich, that's meaning the sacred calendar, who is a cycle for 260 days, they are the elders gave the prophecies or the announcement for the new cycle. This year, the elders don't say anything. When I made the tape to talk with the big elder, the older man, and who is the wisdom one, and the people who made the divination, the prophet, we went in the line, and when we arrived, I asked him, Grandfather, why you don't give us the message, the usual message? And you say, we say anything. We don't have to say more. Just humanity is, we explain all these years about the ozone hole. We explain about the new sickness. We explain and we talk to take care about what they are doing with the fertilizer, what we are doing with the environment, destroy the jungle, destroy the forest, destroy everything, the big contamination, pollution, and nobody take attention. We're talking about the war, we're talking about just the economical power, and the people forget to be a human, to go into the spiritual path. And they are angry, and angry with all of us, not just for the Western people. They say that we have more understanding, the indigenous people have more responsibility to teach to the other people with our example, but most of all we are lost. We lost the path, we are alcoholic, we are most involved in the consumer. And it's like to take attention. We really need to return to the natural order, to return to the conscience. This is the message. I asked the elders in this moment. I know all of this, grandfather. The people are down here. But can you say something so I can say to the people? And he said, I'm going to say just two words. Take action. That's simple. take action. If we don't take action, if we don't take the responsibility of our actions, we let the other destroy, because they prefer to destroy the humanity, the environment, to share the power and to go to the next level with a more conscious, with more love, with more understanding, and with to create this beautiful world of all the people faith and hope, like in the ancient times, before the conquerors, the people who made the invasion to America, we live in more harmony, and we use the necessary. We don't have the ambition to have more and more and more. And the people think I am the owner of this thing, of the land. 200 later, we are not owner for nothing, because we are died and nobody remembers ourselves. So that's the importance, to understand we are living a very, very hard times, and we have the opportunity to grow, to develop, to transmute this energy of the darkness, or destroy the humanity. And I talked with Martin Saskeshawa, the elder from the Hopis. He's the guardian of the sacred type of Thailand, and he is the guardian of the Mayan Codex to the elders sent to the Hopi people 600 years ago. And they are the description of also it's hoped to happen in this 600 years. And they don't have they don't trust. They don't hope. They said we are not doing enough, and the most to we are going to say this make our prayers to save our soul and to go to find with the great spirit, but the destruction is imminent. I said, Grandfather, I think we have the chance. And he smiled and said, Carlos, just see around. The people are not doing nothing. There are lots of people who are in the New Age history, but in reality, they are not people who are working strong in the big traditions, because it's not just to take a piece of the cake. We need to work with a deeper tradition to follow the sacred road, the sacred path for the ancient people. And the Hopis, the Mayan, the Incas, they are open the doors for the Western people so they can arrive. But what they are doing, the most of them, they went, they received the instructions, and they think they have enough power and beginning to create another history just for my money. And this is not the purpose for the open the doors, for the real wisdom, for the real knowledge. So that's that the elder are disappointment for the Western people, but they are trust in the younger. They say the younger people, they are coming with more energy and have more conscience, and they are more afraid that we are going to destroy the world, humanity. So there are another prophecies, but in essential, we need to take care about this time and what we can do, because action. Okay, we live into the system, into the establishment, but they have his own roles, so we accept the roles, but we can do it with the same roles that they have. We can send letters to the Congress people, we can say names, we can make protests. For example, this country, Japan and China and other countries, go outside of the Kyoto Protocol to protect the environment, or to reduce the contamination. And nobody says nothing. And the history says we can express to our people who are in the Congress, and I'm talking about my country, but of course it's the same in, around the world. We can press to our to the people of the poor, because now is something to happen who's different. When we pay the taxes, when we contribute to the nation with our taxes, it's because the people who are the mayor, the governor, the senator, the president, they are the people who are paid for the ordinary people, who they take action for create the real conditions for their balance and to humanity. For they are people who work for us. They are not the owners of the country, but looks different. They looks that now they are the owners of the country. And they are like, I can talk about this country or country. I can talk about my country. And the president, in this case, is like a puppet, and they are puppeteers. The real power, the big trust to move, and they work for these people. And we can't stop. We can't take the example for Argentina, because they broke, the country was broke. And they went, and they make protests, and they put outside the president and put a new one. Doesn't work in a month. The next month they change, and in a period of 3 months they change the president 4 times. Now they are someone who are doing the right thing, and it's in the eyes of all the people. Why we can do something similar? And I'm not talking about to go in the line of the violence, because this is not our way. We are peaceful people, but we can make our voice or listen for all the people. This is in short words, or maybe not that short, but this is the message of the elders. Please return to be our humans. Return to the natural order, and please take action. Because if we don't take action, and we live like nothing has happened, we are going to destroy it, all the humanity. And for us, the people who live a lot, people who live an experience, it's not important if we die today, but the younger, the new generation, and for most important, because we don't understand we are part of the Mother Earth. We are the creation of the Mother Earth, and we are destroying our home, our mother. Imagine if you put the hand of your mother. Imagine if you put the leg of your mother. That can possibly in your mind, in the mind of all of us. It's impossible. We are a bastard if we do that. But that's what we are doing with our mother, the Mother Earth. We are destroying the Mother Earth. And we need to stop this destruction. We need to take action. We need to stop the war. We need to stop the confrontation. We need to open our heart to the understanding. Because if we go in the way of the fundamentalistic of people, we don't have a chance to survive. I personally, I am not like a hospital who they think we are going to destroy the environment, and of course we are going to destroy our own selves. I hope and I trust, because I'm traveling, I talk with the people, and this is my mission, and I can see the hearts of the people are open, and they are trying to do something. But what is this? What we are going to do? Mayan elders said sunset is important, because it's coming the kingdom of the night. And before to the night appears, we need to light the candles, a red one for the energy, for the light, and a white one to the peace, for the understanding. But and meditate, or of course, but in reality, the process for to save the Mother Earth is in the hands of the Native American and essentially the leader, spiritual leaders, the chairman, who doesn't confront. We need more unity. We need to be our one unity for make it possible to find the balance. And I believe and I trust, and of course, the leaders of the all the nations, not just the Native American people, for all the other traditions, the Tibetanian people, the Hindu people, and of course the leaders for Muslim men, the leaders for the Jewish people, they are spiritual people. They are not warriors. They believe and they trust in the world. Dalai Lama, he arrived 2 weeks ago to my country. And for me it was a surprise because the imam, who is the chief of the leader of the Muslim people, they have a space because they are an ecumenical encounter with the spiritual people. And this man is sitting into the public. He don't like to go in the front because, of course, you know all the feelings about the Muslim people. But the most amazing was this man for the Jewish people, the leader, the rabbi. They walk and they talk to the man and said, "Please, your space is in the front of the people." And he said, "No, I prefer to stay here." I said, "No, your place, you need to go to show we are one unity, to show to the people we can make the difference if the spiritual people have a unity and a purpose of peace, of love, and to help the environment, we can do it." And in this moment, this man wake up and seated in front of the people. And it was a very amazing and important a moment. It's just a simple sample of all the things that we can do. And that's prophecy is a lot, but this is the message of the elders. Please take action. That's the right the energy as we need to do. The action meaning I'm going to put in my heart the peace, the love. I'm going to have enough energy to protest, to control, to make our voice are listened. We can talk and the people who are in the power, they can listen. I think so. Anyone like the war, anyone like that we are destroying the environment, anybody are like the all the sickness, all these histories, more hurricanes, more earthquakes, Mother Earth is going to take his side to control us. So we can stop and we can put in harmony with the environment, with the Mother Earth. That's what I can say. I don't know if you have more questions.
Well, we certainly appreciate you sharing what you have so far. I know your time is limited.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
There is a growing movement of people who are deciding to make their lives better. At LifeVantage, we're in the business of change, of improving quality of life globally and restoring the ability to make dreams a reality. Your quest for personal fulfillment begins here. Our flagship product, Protandem, the Nrf2 Synergizer, is the key to fighting oxidative stress. This daily supplement, comprised of natural ingredients activates the body's antioxidant enzymes to eliminate free radicals, which cause oxidative stress. Protandim has been tested in the laboratories of renowned universities, such as The Ohio State University, LSU, and the University of Colorado, Denver. These studies found on PubMed.gov, the U.S. government's online scientific library, clinically show that Protandim reduces oxidative stress.
When I saw that Protandim reduces oxidative stress by 40% in 30 days, I was all in for the rest of my life.
Everyone begs us for science as an industry. Where's your proof? Well, we have that also.
LifeVantage is devoted to advancing NRF2 science and leading the fight against oxidative stress.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
And I am aware that the elders are disappointed in some authors who have put forward the idea that 2012 will somehow be the end of the world. And I know that you have said in the past, and so has Klinbot's men and others, that you would wish to underline the fact that this is not the end of the world, 2012, this is the beginning of change. Some of the elders have commented that they expect about a 13 or 14 year period after 2012 up to the year 2027, which would complete the 500th year of the prophecy of Cuauhtemoc, which was issued in 1527. What would you see happening? What would you imagine would happen in 14 years that could change the way people live in this world, as far as working together and putting communities together? And what do you envision would happen in that 14 years, Grandfather?
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for remember. The history of the 2012 doesn't mean we are going to, this is the end of the world. This is the end of a cycle of the kind of life we are living. And there are more respect to the social history, to the economical history. Things are going to change. And so I can see it. And the elders talking is in 2000 and 52, they are coming the real peace, the real wisdom with the people who survive. So when I talk about destruction, when I talk about the war, the sickness, and all this sad energy, if we don't can control that, we are talking the elder side disappointment, because we hope that the people awake and the people understand, and we can control them, we can stop the destruction. But of course, it's going a portion of humanity, maybe the 75%, who is going to survive on. And this is the people who is going to create the new age, the new humanity. So, I see a new light, I see a new war, I see a new opportunity, and I see we have the chance to do it together. It's not necessary the destruction, it's just necessary the understanding, and it's coming. This is something that, for the prophecies, the return of the wisdom people, the return of the Balanet, that is the Jaguars, these are the great spirits who teach us to the act of humanity. And they say that they're going to return for this day, the 21 of December of 2012. And okay, some people are expecting they would sound like a semi-god, like a bean. But another people, another others say that it's just the energy's return to help us to transform to the people who survive if we don't stop the destruction. Mother Earth is ready to support more than the double of the population, but we need to learn to share, we need to learn to reconstruct and rebuild the Mother Earth, the environment. This is the most important, because we are making a big destruction. And if we don't take care of the deglaciation, all these natural phenomena that we are looking now, can destroy the millions or billions of people. So if this has happened, it is necessary for the development of the of Mother Earth, is going to happen. So, but myself, personally, and of course, when I talk with other elders, they are disappointed, but they hope we can do it. And the word the prophet is talking about is a new world, a world of understanding, the return of the ancient times, the return to the conscious. And a new life, no racism, no confrontation, not more wars, not more weapons. You know how much the people invest, the development countries invest in the weapons. And what about the health of the people? What about the hospitals? What about all this? We can change. We just need to take more attention and make our voices listen. If we like to survive, of course, a portion of humanity is going to survive out. The people of working with the light, the people who have enough power to understand. And this is what we like to transmit to all the Native American people, but to all the humanity.
Yes. Well, you, so I would imagine the elders would definitely want to encourage people to think about where their water is, where their food's going to be coming from, who their friends are, where they're going to be when these possible changes take place, how they're going to sustain themselves through possibly years of completely different situation that they're used to, with the loss of utilities and modern conveniences, and I'm sure they would want to encourage us to do these things with a happy heart, to know that what's on the other side is a much better way of life, if not for us, for our children and our generations to come. Well, I know you're very short on time, and you have an appointment coming up soon. And I just want to express the thanks of the women of the White Roots of Peace Council first have asked me to extend their thank you for all the traveling that you've been doing and all the speaking. And as spokesman for the council, I certainly want to give you a heartfelt thanks myself for taking this responsibility, because travel is very arduous, and you're traveling back and forth between areas of great convenience and your homeland, where there aren't a lot of conveniences, and speaking to a lot of different kind of people that have a lot of different levels of understanding. And I know we are teaching you patience.
No, thank you. You Do they have some minimum
amount? If you have, if you'd like to go ahead and speak as long as you'd like. I really don't, can't think of any other questions other than to, in the future, if you'd like to come back on in a few months, and because I know the people that listen regularly are certainly going to be wanting to know more about you, and but we will keep a link from Posse Keepers over to Sock Bay, and no, I didn't have any other questions for you. I think you've covered it.
Just before this question, I just to take 2 minutes. I'd like to explain something. The Four Corners is very important for us, for the Mayan and for all the indigenous for the continent. The energy of Georg in the Four Corners is like the ukushes we call to the energetical center. It's like in our tradition they call the chakras. So the Okuch of the Four Corners is sick. We need to heal this place. If the head of all the continent is sick, the other part of the continent can develop and can grow. And something to happen with the energy was moved to develop the ambit, but when they could the channel of Panama, the energy can come to the south and begin to return. And we made some ceremony to return the energy to Colombia and to send to the Andes. But someone made a ceremony here. They take the energy for Colombia, for Amazonas, and return the energy to the pueblos here, and they made the ceremonies in Chaco Canyon and around this place, and the energy return. That's part of the destruction of this country. So we need to work together to heal this place. And next feature, I'd like to talk more about this, because it's very important, the healing for this place, and capture the energy and return to the Andes, to the awareness of the an essential for Tehuanaco, the sacred place for the from Bolivia. I'd like to talk another day more about it.
Absolutely, we'd love to have you on anytime you'd like to come on Prophecy Keepers Radio, and we'll be in touch. We really appreciate all the work that Adam's doing, and your other co-director there. Well, if you don't have anything more to say, maybe you can put Adam back on the telephone. And thank you so much, Grandfather, for beginning to give us these little lessons.
I say thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk, to speak, to share the knowledge and the prophecies and the call of the elders to the action. And thank you for all of you, and blessing for the elders, for the spirit of the Mayan people, of the ancient people, and the actual people who are working very hard. Thank you so much for all your nice words for myself, and I say the same thing for your nice work for creating space for the people can listen and can grow and can take the conscience. Thank you very much. Okay.
Thank you. Hope to meet you someday.
Hi, Water.
Hi, Adam. That was wonderful. I know everybody listening is probably going to listen to that interview several times. Because he said a lot, and what he said needs to be listened to very closely. We have, in the past, had Don Jaime Perez man and lots of men, and their time was limited also. And Grandfather Carlos went into a lot of detail here, and this is the information that a lot of people have been asking for, and certainly look forward to having the folks from Sauk Bay come on anytime that they'd like to.
Great. Again, just to reiterate what Carlos is saying, in gratitude to you and the work that you're doing in opening these doors and opening these opportunities for all the spiritual people and the elders to come and share their voice, because it needs to be heard. And so we thank you for this and this important work that you're doing. And I would actually like to plug for you and ask that your listeners continue to support you so that you may continue to do this work, because it really is crucial for humanity at this time.
Well, Creator, it's been a real education for me, because I was raised white, called back to my people, beginning when I was 16 years old, and didn't start the journey until I was 30, and I turned 50 in a couple of months. And it has been a real wondrous journey, and I recommend it for everyone. But it's we were presented with a choice in 1981 to, when I was working for the Boy Scouts of America, and the choice was, Creator said, well, you can stay here, continue to do this kind of work, or you can go on a journey and be led by the Spirit and have a much richer experience. And very slowly, Creator has weaned us away, more and more away from the mainstream system as far as my family. But since I've been doing these...